public comment period. However, I need to recognize a small number of individuals who are asked to speak in order to keep the panel to a manageable size. Just as for all members of the audience who have signed up to speak for the commissioners, each of these individuals will be limited to 2 minutes. Again, I will strictly enforce the time limit. Again, thank you, panelists. With the following people, please come forward. Alderman Walter Burnett, who is going to be speaking on behalf of Secretary of State Jesse White. And Alderman, if you just hold on 1 moment, I would like the other people, Christina Montez Scott, William Delgado, Neil Sabin, and Brad Saul. And we're going to be speaking from the aisle microphones. If everyone could please remain seated and quiet, it would be appreciated. Alderman Walter Burnett. Alderman Burnett. Christina Montez Scott. Christina. On the aisle microphone. Thank you.
Thank you. Can you hear me? Can I be heard?
Begin.
Hello, my name is Christina Montez Scott. And between my family and I, we produce a Spanish TV guide, Telilla de Chicago, and a Spanish community newspaper, El Imparcial, both serving Chicago's Hispanic community for over 20 years. The purpose of both publications is to share local news, interests, talent, cultural entertainment, unifying the many diverse Latinos in my community. It has been my experience as a small, independent, minority-owned media that the disadvantage we inherit from the supersized media giants, such as the Tribune, is how Hispanic media is treated as added value for their advertisers. Supersize your media buy and we'll include your required minority buys for free. Supersize offers like this dismiss the purpose of why diversity dollars are allocated and why those numbers are so low. This has left our business unable to match such low pricing and unable to compete for large corporate media buys. Our company has become one of the few affordable choices for small local businesses who can't afford the super buy. More importantly, the Hispanic community is not receiving the recognition as a major consumer base, entitled to the same value as the general market. Allow me to give you a fair example of how this problem goes beyond media, but to our community. Our company hosts a large Latino festival, a literacy festival, that is a not-for-profit entity. This event solely relies on the money from sponsorships and exhibitors, without which we aren't able to pay necessary materials. In our 8th year, this event is very established with regular sponsors, one of which is GMAC. However, when approached for sponsorship, they mentioned that they were already a sponsor.
Thank you, Ms. Scott.
Through Clear Channel. Thank you.
Thank you. William Delgado, State Senator, co-chair of the Illinois Latino Caucus. Mr. Delgado. Neil Sabin, Executive Vice President, Wego Broadcasting. Brad Saul. Brad Saul is Radio Center for People with Disabilities.
Members of the Commission and Chairman Martin, I sit here today representing the largest minority group in the country, people with disabilities. We're larger than African Americans and Hispanics combined. But nobody likes to think about us or talk about us because we don't quite fit the Baywatch profile. Yet we're the only minority group that anybody can join in a heartbeat. We are underrepresented as owners in the broadcast industry of radio or television stations, yet we represent 7% of the gross national product. In fact, the existence of my nonprofit, which is an offshoot of the for-profit businesses and radio that I've run for the last 30 years, is owed in part to President Clinton, who said, gee, let's change the law and make it so that people who earn more than $25,000 a year can work and keep the Medicare and Medicaid benefits, and also to former FCC Chairman William Kennard, who wrote a letter supporting our organization saying, please let me know which group broadcasters support you and which ones don't. And that's what has allowed us to exist. I represent the group of people who, we talk about minorities all evening long, people of color and women. Guess what? Has one person even mentioned the largest minority in this country? I don't think so. So as you think about how you can work rules to diversify ownership in this country, think about including people with disabilities, not excluding them, not shuffling them off to the side, not pretending we don't exist because we don't look the same as you, but including them in a way that allows us to fully participate in this wonderful world of communications. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, it's now time for the first public comment portion of the program. Before I review the ground rules with the following people, make your way to one of the closest of the two aisle microphones. Michael Shapinchik. Mitchell Shapinchik, I should say. Brian Imus. Ann Bland. John Danigelis, and I apologize if I mispronounce anyone's name. Alexandria Pates, Ray Anania, Sean Campbell, Aaron Wade. Once again, the time limit is 2 minutes. Please organize your thoughts so you can say what you need to say within that time frame. We have the two microphones from time to time. I will provide a number where we're at just to give people an idea. And I would encourage you to speak your mind within the two-minute time period. Mr. Shapinchik.
Vitam Serdechnik, welcome. My name is Mitchell Shapinchik. I work as a software developer in Chicago, and today I made my national TV debut. I was a contestant on today's episode of the syndicated version of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? I play trivia games my whole life, but I've spent the last 5 years on media politics, mostly with the group Chicago Media Action. And one key issue I've taken up is publicizing the FCC's proposed media ownership rule changes and the harm that's found the result. From personal experience, I can say that media concentration has been horrible for trying to raise the issue of media concentration. Press conferences and press releases I've helped create on the issue go ignored because, with such concentrated media, Chicago working journalists often don't want to risk their jobs raising the issue. And yet I find the issue holds great popular zeal. Almost everyone I've talked to wants decreased concentration, and those who call for the opposite are almost exclusively those who stand to profit from increased concentration. But how do you tell people about media policies without using the media who have a vested interest in the matter? My own solution has been to spread the word in as many venues as I can. I hope to have a weekly show on WHPK Radio here on the South Side. I help produce the monthly TV series of Chicago Indie Media, locally on CAN TV. I write widely and contribute to assorted websites and blogs. Yet I've probably been seen and heard by more people on my millionaire appearance today than I have in 5 combined years of my community media work. But I stand proud of my media work since I've had far more freedom to voice concerns than I ever could under a corporate regime. But more relief is in order. At minimum, I urge the FCC to maintain its current media ownership rule. If it does change the rules, it should be towards reducing concentration. I also urge the FCC to authorize the creation of more community media outlets and to encourage an independent panel to review female and minority ownership. Thank you.
Thank you. Brian Imus. Brian Imus.
Good evening. My name's Brian Imus. I'm the state director with Illinois PIRG, the Public Interest Research Group. We're a nonpartisan, nonprofit citizen advocacy organization. On behalf of our 10,000 citizen members across the state, I want to thank you for giving Chicago an opportunity to speak on this matter of critical concern to all those who value an informed citizenry. My organization works on a variety of public interest issues: public health, consumer rights, good government, and campaign finance reform. Regardless of the issue, however, media ownership has an impact on the public discourse and debate that occurs on all those issues. when corporate media decides to shy away from an issue that might affect advertising revenue, the visibility of our crucial public interest issues are diminished. In past years, we in the Chicagoland region have had access to more independent outlets than most, but we too have seen consolidation among the papers and the electronic media. In preparing for this hearing, I heard story after story from citizens that I spoke to who felt that local coverage and content had decreased. I've even experienced it in my own work as a public interest advocate. There are fewer reporters and news sources covering state and local policy debates than in the past. That's a direct result of consolidation. The number of independent voices has been slowly but drastically reduced, meaning fewer viewpoints. Corporate media has already proved that they will always look out for their bottom line. I bet you'll even hear from a few of them tonight who will testify to do just that. All we ask is for the FCC to follow its mandate and look out for the public interest. Thank you.
Thank you. Anne Glenn.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Anne Glenn, and my testimony represents my personal views. That is to say, I'm one of the public that will be affected by your decision. I will cover several points briefly. First, the corporate view of our community has already allowed its decision makers to continue what constitutes an unbalanced view of in the media, print as well as electronic. To quote Reverend Jackson, we are represented as less intelligent than we are, less caring than we are, less ambitious than we are, and less moral than we are. If you allow additional media consolidation, there will be just more of the same. My presence today is evidence that I have a personal stake in your decision. Please make the concept of fair and balanced more than just a slick advertising cliche. I appeal to you to restore the integrity that comes with the people's opportunity to be heard. Secondly, and lastly, many Americans know considerably less than their counterparts in general around the world. One of the reasons for this fact is that corporate interests have already monopolized what should be rightfully the people's airways. I hope your decision will not amplify this unfortunate circumstance. I appeal to you to restore the integrity that comes with all points of view being heard and included. For this member of the public, thank you for your listening.
Thank you. John DeNigelis. John DeNigelis. No. Alexandria Pates. John, okay, I'm sorry. Please step forward to the microphone. Well, then, let's walk to the microphone, sir, please.
Good evening to all. My name is John DeNigelis. I helped pioneer the marketing of MCI in the mid-70s. And the FCC did an absolutely terrible job. And I'm not just saying that that wasn't just my opinion. It was opinion of the federal appellate courts. It was opinion of Judge Harold Green, who dismembered AT&T to the Bell Company. Also, Bob Hanley, who I knew personally, obtained a $1.8 billion at the beginning of the 80s, a $1.8 billion decision from AT&T. And that's what kept MCI viable. When throughout most of the 70s, they tottered on the edge of bankruptcy, due in good part to the decisions of the FCC. Now, that's a historical perspective from then. I'll have to go very fast. I was on CAN TV with respect to the media. there was a giant cover-up by the big media against the white-collar crime with big corporate interests to the tune of literally hundreds of millions of dollars. Those corporations were General Motors and Eastern Airlines, and I went from here five dogs and hit the bottom and was homeless twice.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Alexandria Pace.
Okay. My name is Alexandra Pace. I go to Young Louis Leadership High School. I am here today to say what I see in the media. What I see is not right. I think all we see is stereotypes against African-American youth. When I turn on the news, the same stories come on. Who saw who got raped, or how we are making no progress with the war in Iraq. Media influences people to think that African-American youth are lazy, ignorant, loud, or are going to be rappers, gangbangers, or are going to join the NBA. And I don't think that's right. Also, when people see these stereotypes on the news or in the media, they judge you and think of you differently. Tell the truth. When I first walked in here, you all thought I was some ignorant little black girl that has nothing to say and got dragged in here by her parents and was probably going to sit in the back and make a lot of noise or fall asleep. But that is not the case. I'm a young black girl, that's true. But I have goals and a plan to achieve them. I want to be a lawyer. Because of the media, you would just assume these stereotypes about me and not want to hear what I have to say. So I think that if you changed the news and made it so that there were more people of color or more women owning more media, there would be a more diverse spread on TV. I can't throw a basket to save my life. Gangs bore me, and I am not lazy, ignorant, or loud. But because of big media, no one knows that about me.
Thank you. Ray Hanani. Ray Hanani.
My name is Ray Hanania. I'm a member of the National Arab American Journalists Association. On September 11th, leaders of 25 Arab American organizations representing 90% of Cook County's 250,000 Arab Americans called a press conference to declare allegiance to America, denounce the terrorism, and offer support as Americans. No one came to that press conference. But they did cover the extremists down the street who said September 11th was the result of American foreign policy. Till this day, people ask me why we don't denounce terrorism. Why did the media ignore 25 responsible Arab American leaders? Because over the years, media ownership has fallen into fewer hands, undermining the ability of journalists to zero in on the essence of a story, forcing reporters to seek out the most outrageous and shocking headlines because shock, not truth, sells newspapers and broadcasts ads and feeds hate. The tightening of the ownership noose chokes diversity, shuts out the least powerful, silences voices, and creates an atmosphere where extremism thrives in communities like mine. We do not have diversity in the media. Worse, only the accepted corporate media's minority definition of diversity is accepted. My color is not included in the media of color. I beg you to force the media to give Arab Americans and other ethnic minorities like us a real voice. There are thousands of Arab Americans who cannot get their voices heard. November is Arab American Heritage Month in Illinois, and rarely not one major media will cover it. No one will showcase our events, no one will cover our meetings, no one will interview us. When a community is denied a voice in the public dialogue, when they are pushed to frustration, when they cannot vent, they become angry, paranoid, and extreme. And it is from that extremism that the fanatics harvest their terrorists. Thank you very much.
Before I announce the next speaker, would Nina Kluster, Fred Hampton Jr., Nancy Snyder, and Junween Rodriguez come to the microphone? Sean Campbell.
For the past 8 years, I was program director of Chicago's. For the past 8 years, I was program director of Chicago's community radio station, WLUW. With a commitment to local music and local issues, our audience grew from 8,000 to over 30,000. Listeners told me I'd given up on radio until I found you guys. You're what radio was supposed to be. But this programming is ending because the station's owner is making changes. The great community programming we worked so hard to produce will disappear because of an unsympathetic owner. So I know firsthand that ownership is the be-all and end-all of broadcasting, and that's why I want to implore you not to allow further consolidation of media ownership, which already has produced nothing but more commercialism, less localism, and less diversity, but to prioritize ensuring that the airwaves are more diverse, that there are more owners. You can do this by allowing more low-power FM radio stations everywhere, not just in rural areas. When we got the news about WLUW, I formed CHIRP, the Chicago Independent Radio Project. I hoped to apply for a new low-power license for a station where we could continue the work we began at WLUW. But I quickly discovered barriers. Even if the Local Community Radio Act passes, Chicago still is shut out. Even as urban low-power applicants have been told there's no room for them, new translators transmitting distant signals, doing no local programming, have been licensed. These translators are being misused to allow big companies to build national networks. They're here while CHIRP is told there's no place for us, despite our commitment to localism and diversity. I ask you today not only to refuse to allow large corporate owners any additional leeway in the already too generous broadcast ownership rules, but to commit to expanding localism and diversity by expanding low-power FM to big cities with a rule change that would prioritize new low-power applicants over translators, future and existing, that provide no local programming. You have the power to make a real difference here. Is it the large corporations who need more of a voice? No. The airwaves belong to the people. Please do not allow more consolidation of media ownership, and do make room for new low-power FM stations in cities like Chicago by giving new local applicants priority over distant translators.
Thank you very much.
Erin Wade.
Good evening, gentle persons, commissioner, and chairman. My name is Erin Wade, and I am a member of Fourth Presbyterian Church in Chicago. The Presbyterian denomination places a high value on information, worth, involvement, and expression for each individual. While I do not officially represent the 3.5 million members of the Presbyterian Church USA, I do come here to represent these specific values of the denomination in our media. When I listen to the radio, I hear much of the same music over and over again. Very little local community representation. But one day I was scanning the radio and came upon a community station where I had not heard the music before. The station was playing local and independent music. And the more I got involved in this radio station, the more I saw what media can be like when it has an independent voice. It can give out different kinds of information. It can involve local people, and it can allow a variety of expression. The traits our country was founded on, and the traits I, as a Presbyterian, believe in. I'm not paid by the Presbyterian Church or the radio station. I'm not a time card activist. I'm here because my faith, my experience, and my conscience compel me to ask you, the FCC, not to allow expansion of corporate media consolidation. I'm here to ask the FCC to protect the interests of those who don't have lots of money, power, and prestige. I'm also here to ask the FCC to prioritize low-power FM over translators so these independent voices have a fair shot at media expression. I'm not here to make it an us versus them fight. I'm here to give my voice to the question, what is fair? And is there a place on the dial for diversity? Thank you for holding this hearing and for your consideration.
Thank you. Sir, did I call your name and miss you? Did I call your name?
No, sir.
All right, because we have to go in order of the names as people signed up. I apologize.
Absolutely, sir.
Okay. Nina Klooster.
Hi. My name is Nina Klooster, and I'm testifying about my attempts to get media coverage for peace activists in Chicago and in Northwest Indiana. In 2006, we were sending out regular press releases to all the TV and radio stations in Chicago, trying to get coverage for the colorful actions by Chicago area Code Pink to call attention to issues around the Iraq War. In a year of diligent press work, we rarely saw a reporter or TV camera. Those of us who realized that the corporate media was relaying lies that led up to the war and failing to report the exposure of those lies stood on street corners in all kinds of weather, passing out leaflets and holding signs. This was the only way we had to get our story out to the public. I contrast my experience in Northwest Indiana, where Code Pink held a vigil to dramatize the death of American soldiers and Iraqi civilians and demand a meeting with Senator Evan Bayh to discuss the Iraq War. We were interviewed for 25 minutes on Channel 56's Lakeshore Focus. Our subsequent events have been covered on Lakeshore News and given public service announcements on local radio stations. We were recently interviewed for an hour on WVLP 98.3 low power FM in Valparaiso, Indiana. I don't know what made the difference between Chicago and Northwest Indiana, but I do know that the dialogue that happens when the voices of the community are heard makes for better government. If this dialogue had been heard on the airwaves in the lead up to the Iraq War, the war might have been averted, saving the lives of the 3,791 American soldiers and estimated 1.2 million Iraqis killed to date. Chicago needs low-power FM to assure that community voices are heard on the airwaves. The country needs the FCC to restore the fairness doctrine, to assure that dissenting voices are heard nationally and locally, and to give and to preserve our democracy. Thank you.
Fred Hampton, Jr.
As Chairman Fred Hampton, Jr., respect that title like you respect white folks' titles. I'd like to address the lack of media accountability in the black community in particular. Regardless of the facade put forth as a so-called free press, I recognize the media is an arm of the government. I'm clear that the media has to take direction in one way or another from those who represent the government. However, I would like for the record to reflect the blatant violations that continuously occur in my respective community. In Chicago in particular, leading law enforcement officials have arrogantly stated that the press is to make no mention of the police terrorism that we incur. In early 2006, in response to the Chicago police murder of Michael Smith, a Chicago police commander ordered a WGN reporter not to cover anything that I or any other witness stated. Some representatives of the local media have even stated that they have been provided a list by the Mayor Daley administration, a list of quote-unquote loaded terms or quote-unquote catchphrases to use in references to any community organizer or even the black community in general. Terms such as gang member and or ex-felons. On August 6th of this year, after Chicago police shot 18-year-old Aaron Harris in the back, police spokespersons sent out a mandate to media moguls directing them to no longer refer to him as a youth being shot in the back, but to henceforth say that he was shot in the left shoulder, which since then, that's how it's been referenced to, if referenced at all. The atmosphere of fear that permits only quote-unquote safe subjects or open worry type of subjects was even witnessed after the August 7, 2007 beating of a black Chicago Tribune reporter by the Chicago police, in which his own newspaper has been fearful to write about it. In closing, we recognize that with Campanero Che Guevara said that the role of the propagandist can be as important as the guerrilla.
Thank you.
Still holds true. Just as Hitler's propagandist Joseph Goebbels played a key role in setting the stage for the atrocities in Nazi Germany, today, J. Edgar Hoover's journalism have been and are responsible for setting the scene for implementing the racist laws and the mass murder of those in the black community in particular. Power to the people.
Thank you. Nancy Snyder.
I'm Nancy Snyder. Commissioners, keep the present limit on media ownership. I've lived in Chicago most of my life. Given my color, living on the north side was almost mandatory. But my first job was on the south side. it showed me that skin color made so much difference. Where I lived, where my friends were, neighborhoods I visited. I traveled a lot for work and found it easy to talk to people about local news, radio programs. We established common ground, built bridges. I worked with Don, who wrote a little magazine about local jazz groups and radio stations. Daddy O'Daly had a must-have program with music and news from all over Chicago. Over the years, segregation has remained in Chicago. In fact, I think it's increased. There's no little jazz magazine anymore. Now it's big, glitzy. A page of advertising costs $1,000, and it's available only to affluent people. Today's local news is one story fits all. If it bleeds on the south side, it bleeds. Our bridges are blasted by the efficiency of one company owns most, one editor controls all. This efficiency of consolidated media ownership keeps us segregated in Chicago, where white is right, the good life is on the north side. We need bridges without bias. A variety of locally owned newspapers, radio, and TV stations, real live people who live here, writing and broadcasting, a wide range of news, talk, entertainment, many editors. Would it be possible for us to build bridges? Make it possible for us.
Thank you.
Keep the present limits.
Thank you very much.
Before we go to our next speaker, I'd like to note that it is 7:30. We had shown on our program that 7:30 was a break time. We have been running far behind schedule, and it is our intention to just to move forward in lieu of a break. We have a lot of public commenters who have signed up, and we want to get to everybody. Before our next speaker, if the following people could come forward: Christopher Murphy, Rodrigo Alvarez, Jesus Sanchez, Kevin Benson, Robbie Smith, Sam Ryan, Blanca Cambry, June Wen Rodriguez.
Yes, me.
Can somebody help?
Very inexcusable.
The chairman needs to be seated down because he's supposed to be here to listen to the public. And you, Robert, and Jonathan need to be paying attention to what we're saying because you have not been so all night. Take a look at who's behind you right now, Dr. King. If Dr. King were here tonight, he would tell you, I am very ashamed of you, FCC. Why? Because you're not only ignoring, not only stepping on, but you're spitting on our multiracial, multi-ethnic democracy. Why? Thanks to your inconsiderate rules, young, low-class women of color like myself live in fear of getting raped and abused in each and every way. 75% of the U.S. population that consumes your media, portray us as only caring about fashion and as well as only being body parts, as opposed to us being intellectual and competent human beings. And not only that, but we also need to act shy, we need to look anorexic and defenseless. And whenever we get raped and abused in each and every way, that crime lays on you because you make the rules. And for all you know, your wife might be getting raped right now. And it's up to you to stop that along with many more rapes. Thank you.
Thank you. Christopher Murphy. Rodrigo Alvarez. Jesus Sanchez.
Okay. Hi, my name is Jesus Sanchez. I've been a legal organizer for 15 years. For the past 41 years, I've been a Latino. And today I speak to you about the outrage I have in my heart about what NBC is doing to Telemundo. Since NBC purchased Telemundo in 2001, I believed in the 5 promises they made to the NBC made to the FCC, that they would help Telemundo grow, And what has NBC done? Approximately 300 people have lost their jobs. And in the Southwest, NBC has closed 6 Telemundo stations and is sending out regional news to the Latino public. What happened to localism? It's been said that this is great journalism, and I would like to quote the National Association of Hispanic Journalists. If regionalized newscasts are good for journalism and not just a way to save money, while giving the appearance of meeting the network's public interest obligations, why are regional newscasts only being planned for Spanish-speaking audiences? Doesn't the English-speaking audience deserve the level of service? I ask the FCC to conduct hearings and investigate into what's going on. Thank you.
Thank you. Kevin Pearson.
Yes, my name is Kevin Brinson. I'm the CEO of Seawall, Inc., independent record label here in Chicago. And I'm coming forward because we have a serious problem in Chicago, in this entire market, I think. And what's going on is your media consolidation that you all approve and everything is contributing to payola. We sitting up here where can't no local artists get played on the radio station. You know what I'm saying? We got local on-air personalities asking us to get them $5,000 and $25,000 just to play a record. Local DJs, you know what I'm saying? DJ Ferris wanting $5,000 to play your stuff in a mix show. Boogie Boy wanting $25,000 to play your song in a mix show. Don't no independent record labels have that type of money. This market was not designed that way. And this Telecommunications Act of 1996 has literally destroyed the independent record labels, and it's literally destroyed the localized programming in this market. It doesn't even exist anymore. So we want y'all to launch a federal investigation, because we got people that's been victimized by this system. And if you all don't take it serious, we're going to start marching on every radio station here in the city, and we're going to start shutting them down, and we're going to shut them down until y'all come and y'all start doing something about it. You know, and it's not just the radio stations. The television stations are doing the same thing, refusing to cover the travesties that's going on in our neighborhood. The police killing these young kids, and you all are not coming into our neighborhood and getting the accurate information. We tired of it, and we want something done about it. We want something done about it, and we want it done now. Launch an investigation. We tired of sitting up here looking at y'all, and y'all not even paying attention to some of us. We wondering if this is a dog and pony show or something.
Thank you. Robbie Smith.
I can't follow Kevin with a testimony like that, but my name is Robbie Smith. I am a producer and former board member for Chicago Access Network Television, better known as CAN-TV, everyone knows. I've been involved with CAN-TV for 15 years, and I say with pride that this network produces more local programming each week in this city than all of the broadcast channels combined, all of them combined. So in looking at radio and TV in Chicago, I say that CAN-TV and WVON Radio are the major sources of African-American information, news, and discussion on a regular basis. Now, even though we have a radio, we own a black radio station, we own a black cable station, but we have never owned a black broadcast television station. So with the transition from analog to digital, we want you to make the playing field level so that there can be an African American owning a broadcast television station in Chicago. Now, you have said yourself in your opening comments that you are charged with fostering localism and diversity, and we expect you to do just that. And we also hope that from this testimony today that you will establish an independent panel on minority and female ownership so we can make a difference in this city.
Thank you. Sam Ryan.
Good
Good evening. I'm Samuel Ryan, a student at DePaul University. I would like for all of you to look back to when you were about my age, 18, 19, or 20. Do you remember how difficult it was to have your voice heard? How there was a limited amount of outlets for you to just have your thoughts and opinions voiced? I'm very sorry to say, but this has not changed. The youth of Chicago and America still do not have a voice that is broadcasted over the airwaves. It is the time for this to change. I would like to point out that these testimony hearings are virtually impossible for high school or college students to give their testimony. It is located in a location that is not readily accessible, and the registration process requires students to skip school in order to make it here or to just sign up to testify. I would suggest that next time the concerns of youth are taken into consideration when planning so you can receive a broader base of testimony. In a nation that prides itself on diversity, people's voice being heard, and equal opportunity, it's a shame that six corporations control the majority of what we see, hear, and comprehend. I, like other citizens, feel that diversity in what is broadcasted, who is broadcasting it, and how the information is portrayed is vital to the growth of our youth. You have the power to make these changes, either for the better or for the worse. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Before our next speaker, with Todd Dieterle, Martin Messias, Scott Sanders, Jeanette Wilson, Hermeen Hartman, Barbara Popovich, Orion Samuelson, come down. Blanca Cambry.
Good evening.
Is it on?
Good evening. My name is Blanca. I am a young journalism student. I would like to express my discontent with the mainstream media. Here in Chicago, two major corporations own the limited Spanish language media. This makes us, the Latin community, underrepresented and misrepresented. We should not allow major corporations to keep buying our public airwaves. If they keep consolidating, we are more and more deprived of our freedom to the communication waves. Our children and subcultures get no exposure because of the limited media. We want an independent panel to review the female and minority ownership. The FCC needs to realize that we need to stop this mainstream bonanza. We would also like to see a diversity in the FCC itself. You find gentlemen are sitting there, the chairman is missing, and we have no diversity in the FCC. We need to have diversity, and we will also like the FCC to realize that the Latin community is a majority and not a minority, and we deserve proper and decent exposure and representation. Thank you.
Thank you. We are now on the 20th person who has signed up on our list, Todd Dieterle. I'm sorry if I mispronounced.
Todd Dieterle, good evening, and thank you for coming, Chairman and Commissioners. I serve as the board chair of Common Cause here in Illinois. Common Cause is a nonpartisan advocacy organization working for honest, open, and accountable government and to promote the public interest. We care deeply about the issue of media consolidation because the failure to provide our citizens with diverse viewpoints and unbiased information will undermine the strength of our democracy that depends on a robust marketplace of ideas. Too often, large media companies appear to put profit motives ahead of regular local programming that better informs citizens on the workings of our government, the actions of those we elect, who finances their campaigns, and what contributors ask for and get in exchange for contributions. Localism and diversity in media ownership are the cornerstones of a democratic system, and we cannot afford to compromise this principle. Owners exercise, we all know, enormous power over content. Less diverse absentee ownership yields just that, a lack of diversity of viewpoints, less information, and probably most importantly, a lack or feel for what really matters locally and what the aspirations are of a local community. Media consolidation allowed by previous deregulation has already resulted in the decline of local and minority ownership, as well as the homogenization of broadcast content. At Common Cause Illinois, we particularly fear a decline of good old deep digging local investigative journalism that exposes scandal and holds government accountable. The Federal Communications Commission's policy should promote localism, dependence, and diversity, and require and monitor for compliance broad discussion and the programming of our political life. The Fourth Estate functions best when it has a local address. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you. Martin Messiah.
Sir, did I miss you?
Rogelio Alvarez.
What's your name?
Rogelio Alvarez.
Rodrigo Alvarez?
Rogelio.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, that's me.
Okay, go ahead, please.
Hello, good evening. My name is Rogelio Alvarez, and I'm a student for the program of Radio Arte, WRTE 90.5. And Tania Unzueta, she will be my interpreter because I wrote my testimony in Spanish. I hope you don't mind. Los medios de comunicación, cuyo deber consiste en mantenernos informados sobre los nuevos acontecimientos, que por alguna razón ellos mismos no lo hacen, ya que solo se enfocan en cosas erróneas, es decir, existe esa capacidad que ayuda a adquirir público distraído, ya que esta misma les ayuda a poner en un nivel alto a ellos mismos. Quizás tengan en mente, hay que conseguir audiencia, mantenerla y atraparla y atrapar sus emociones. ¿Pero esto es justo para la comunidad? No, no existe una acción que sea más tonta que hacerle daño a la comunidad, alimentándola con una información que ellos lo más probable es que les importe, pero la comunidad no tiene más alternativa que escuchar, ver, leer o leer la noticia. Por los últimos años hemos tenido ciertos tipos de programas despertinos, de un mal gusto, tan solo estos locutores que pertenecen a Univisión Radio, Rafael Pulido, Luis Gutiérrez y Violín por la Mañana, sin mencionar a otros. Mantienen un formato de entretenimiento que no da la información adecuada para la comunidad, para la comunidad que se dé a respetar y a valorar. Tan solo recuerdo que la última vez que escuché uno de estos programas no salía de un formato vulgar, ofendiendo a mujeres y a la comunidad homosexual. Por eso yo pido que apoyen a los medios sin fines de lucro para poder salir y demostrar lo que realmente somos.
Just allow me a couple of seconds to the translation, not a complete translation, just the point. Really quickly, one of the things that he said is that large media corporations in particular, he mentioned Univision Radio, have a lot of very vulgar shows that have content that degrades women and degrades the gay community, and that's the reason why he would like the FCC to support independent and small community radio stations.
Thank you. Martin Messiah. Martin Messiah. Scott Sanders.
Hi, my name is Scott Sanders. I'm a volunteer with Chicago Media Action. Malcolm X once said, "The media are the most powerful entity on earth because they can make the innocent guilty and the guilty innocent." The FCC has usually served, unfortunately, as a revolving employment door for the telecom industry, while it has allowed huge media corporations to become yet bigger. The handful of monoliths that control most of the U.S. media are guilty of spreading propaganda during the lead-up to the illegal U.S.-led attack on the innocent people of Iraq. Sound surveys now are noting perhaps 1.2 million civilian deaths there due to violence since March 2003. These mega corporations are guilty today as they help perpetuate that conflict and try to repeat the pattern. Pick any issue and you will find them guilty of stealing our democracy. Iran, better health care, gang violence, guilty, guilty, guilty. In the real world, we must work as one to halt and reverse media consolidation and strengthen public media, including low-power FM and community TV, essential to the recovery, maintenance, and enhancement of American democracy in our Orwellian era, is public engagement on the issue of who controls the media, how much media one owner should be allowed to control, and centrally, how much the media controls us. This system of control includes PBS2. There are a few exceptions, but all things considered, the blood-stained PBS brand cannot be trusted either. We must break up the media cartels, guarantee just levels of minority ownership, codify a neutral internet, reinvent public media.
Thank you
very
much.
Stop big media before they kill again.
Thank you. Jeanette Wilson. Jeanette Wilson. Hermine Hartman. Barbara Popovich.
Hello, Commissioners. I'm Barbara Popovich, Executive Director of Chicago's Public Access Television Network, CAN-TV. Our crews here are covering this hearing, which is a part of the 140 hours each week we do of local original programming on non-commercial channels devoted entirely to the public. 30 years ago, I was hired by a commercial broadcaster in Chicago for an ethnic series, and kind of rode in on this tide of new programs that were created just on the eve of the SEC licensing consideration at that time. But once the license was approved, the tide went out and the shows went with it. It was kind of like a movie set. Good looking, served the temporary purpose, but there was no structure, no foundation, and no lasting commitment. In the intervening 30 years, local content has vastly diminished on commercial television, and only meaningful regulation can change that. At the same time through legislative act, Congress made sure the public could participate in cable TV through PEG access centers like CAN-TV. But as we speak, PEG access is under attack from the FCC's video franchising order passed on a 3-2 vote in December. That ruling undermines community resources and violates the intent and letter of federal law. Now the commission is considering extending that order to cable, teeing up a big win for the industry and a loss for the public. Why would you cancel public benefits already agreed to by the cable companies? We urge you to reverse that order and not to extend it to cable. Comcast is already canceling PEG centers and shutting them down in Indiana where bad law exists, and where officials got duped into buying the argument that public benefits like PEG are somehow a barrier to market entry. Some people say let's get democracy out of the way and let the market take care of it. We're here to tell you, commissioners, the market doesn't take care of it. The entire PEG community functions on less than 1% of cable revenue.
Thank
As our representatives,
much.
We rely on you to weigh in on the side of the public. Thank you.
Before we move to our next speaker, with Kathy O'Malley, Carl West, Mike Janicek or Janicek, Tracy McClellan, Ralph Campagna or Campagna, Jane Hayden, Juan Carlos Fanjul, and Ken Reiner, come forward. Orion Samuelson.
Distinguished commissioners, thank you very much for your time. My name is Orion Samuelson, and when I was growing up on a dairy farm in Wisconsin, radio was not only our daily companion, it was our only source of information. We depended on it for all of the information. I decided at an early age I preferred talking about hard work rather than doing it, and so I became a broadcaster. And I focus on agricultural information and the agribusiness community. I work at WGN Radio. I've been there for 47 years, and when I arrived, we were one of 25 clear channel radio stations, technology, not company. And we had a channel that served all of rural America, and that's why we served that community. Well, enlarging on Tom Langmeier's statement earlier this evening, we continue to serve that community. But today we serve it from the farm gate to the dinner plate. And that means we communicate with the producers, small minority, by the way, 2% of the people produce the food that's on your table there tonight. We serve that community, but we serve the agribusiness community, the Board of Trade at the Mercantile Exchange that sets the world price for grains and livestock right here in Chicago. And we are encouraged as individuals to work with various organizations. I work in fundraising. for 4-H, for FFA, for the Chicago High School for Agricultural Sciences, and for many church organizations as well. That's something that our company encourages. He talked about it earlier, but I'd like to put a personal touch on it. We work with seniors in nutrition programs. We work with inner-city 4-H clubs. We work with FFA for the future of agriculture, and I thank you very much.
Thank you. Kathy O'Malley. Kathy O'Malley.
First of all, I'd like to complain about the lighting. I'm Kathy O'Malley, and for almost 20 years, Judy Markey and I have co-hosted a WGN radio talk show. I hear people today saying that the airwaves should belong to the people, and I'd like to point out that at WGN radio, they do. We don't play music. We talk to people. We talk every year to thousands of listeners from all parts of the city, from the suburbs, from the country, and we don't ask their ethnicity before they get on the air. We talk about politics and potty training, teachers, preachers. We talk about makeup and making up. And if I've learned anything over these 20 years, it is that we are all more alike than we are different. Every day on our show, we hear Democrats and Republicans who care about our country, men and women, straight and gay, who only want to love somebody and be loved, old people and young people who are concerned about getting decent health care and fairness in housing, whites and Latinos and African Americans and Asians all want their kids to have a bright future and a good education. And women of all ages just want to find a good moisturizer and excellent accessories. We all want to wipe out breast cancer. We had a great Why Me team to do that. We were concerned about Katrina. Two of our listeners started loading up semis, and WGN listeners loaded 5 semis to send to Louisiana. The Neediest Kids Fund was in dire need of money this summer. In one day, WGN listeners came up with $90,000. I don't know what color they were or where they came from or who they voted for. I only know what they had in common. They heard that people needed help, and WGN, which is owned by the Tribune Company, gave them a way to do a really good thing for a really good organization.
Thank you.
It happens all the time at WGN, and
thank
I'm
you.
Proud of that.
Carl West.
Right here, right here. This on? Yeah.
Testing.
Good evening, Commissioners. I'm Carl West, publisher, editor of The Truth Magazine, a hip-hop culture publication, and also the founder and producer of the Truth Hip Hop and R&B Awards, saluting Chicago's best and brightest. I'm here representing the local urban entertainment scene, or better yet, hip-hop culture. First, I want to say hip-hop lives. My good friend and Chicago hip-hop artist, Kanye West, just defeated 50 Cent in a friendly and competitive battle of rap supremacy. 1.5 million albums were purchased in the first week's release. So I salute and stand by the hip-hop community for not letting mainstream media solidify our culture as the eels of America. I know thousands and thousands of local artists who feel defeated, and these artists are just as talented, and these artists are just as talented as most artists on local and national airwaves. I think the listeners are extremely hungry for new faces, new ideas, and new sounds. Sounds that can uplift, inspire, educate, and still remain profitable. I plead with the commission to give the dedicated starving artists the chance to not only live their dreams, but provide for their family and support themselves only when radio plays the real hits. I produce the Hip Hop Awards, which is October the 6th, here in this wonderful establishment. And once again, I thank you, and I look forward to y'all's recent decision. Thank you.
Thank you. Mike Janasek.
Hi, my name is Mike Janasek. I'm a Chicagoan. Welcome to Chicago. I'm honored to take part in your decision-making process. I'd like to commend you on the way you're doing it. You're going to 6 varied regions, talking to a lot of different people, listening to them for an equal amount of time, and that's something that I would like as an American to be able to do, and I would like the children as our future to be able to do. Wide ownership, wide varied opinions. The other thing is, by the grace of God, I got invited to a hip-hop show this weekend before this. I didn't realize I was coming here to testify. I didn't want to go. I didn't want the guns, the gats, the gangsters, the thugs. I went to the show. I was amazed. It totally enthralled me. It was rhythmic. It was melodic. It was interesting. It was funny. It was fascinating. It was talented. I was one of the few white people in the place, and yet no one, on stage or off, said the N-word. Nobody called anybody a B-word. Nobody said the H-word. I was totally enthralled and amazed. The other thing is, Clear Channel doesn't owe me anything. Neither do a lot of child molesters. But I don't give them unregulated access to my family. Thank you.
Thank you. Tracy McClellan. Tracy McClellan, Ralph Campagna, or Campagna.
Good evening. Good evening to the commissioners and to, thank you, and to everyone here tonight. I'm here with Off the Street Club's Associate Director, Arnett Morris, and we're here to speak on behalf of the several thousand children of Chicago's oldest Boys and Girls Club, located on the city's west side for 107 years. Recently, we completed the most ambitious project in our history with the construction of a new $6.5 million activity center to complement our original building. Quite simply, ladies and gentlemen, we could not have done it without the hands-on and direct help of WGN-TV and the WGN-TV staff.
And for 20 years, good people of WGN-TV have reached out to impact the lives of our kids growing up on the West Garfield side, where drugs and gangs steal their futures for too many of our young city's kids.
During those 20 years, WGN-TV's involvement has most certainly not been the casual, publicity-driven kind of support. Rather, from the top down, the staff of WGN-TV has embraced our cause and our kids in real and effective ways that are just too numerous to talk about here in 2 minutes. However, just one of the avenues of service they have delivered to Westside children is through 18 years of a spectacular WGN-TV fundraising event called the Bozo Ball, which has raised $5 million, empowering the dreams of people in need and turning those dreams into a better life. Ladies and gentlemen, at Off the Street Club on Chicago's West Side, WGN-TV is held in reverence because of the tireless, dedicated service they have provided and continue to provide to our very needy but very wonderful kids.
For two decades, WGN-TV has brought help for today and hope for tomorrow to our community. We say a heartfelt thank you and a God bless to the venerable station and our compassionate and caring people. Thank you.
Thank you. James Hayden.
Hi, my name is Jane Hayden, and I'm the Director of Operations for WGN-TV. For the past 23 years, I've been a volunteer mentor, beginning at the Fourth Press Church on Michigan Avenue, where I met a 9-year-old young man named Darius. When Darius graduated from Lincoln Park High School, I faced the dilemma of taking on another student, or maybe, with the help of WGN management, start a program of my own with my coworkers. I approached the nearby Daniel Cotter Boys and Girls Club and presented the idea to the board of directors. The staff and the board members embraced the idea, and I recruited 9 WGN employees to join me every Tuesday at the club. Each of us was assigned a student to work with one-on-one for the school year, with the hope of building a bond and trusting relationship with one student and one adult. That was 14 years ago. Today we have had as many as 35 students ranging from third grade through college, 35 adults from WGN and their friends and family. Within the past 4 years, we have outgrew the club and we have hosted the program at the WGN studios. WGN supports the program by grant money for both the bus service and special cultural outings around the city. Along with the mentoring program, we have built a special relationship with the Boys and Girls Club General Office. We have had several of our anchor personalities speak at fundraisers, and last year we had an overwhelming response to the WGN Morning News toy drive that supported the clubs around the Chicago area. The best part of all of this is the connection the students are making with their mentors, giving them access to the world outside their neighborhood, reminding them every week how important school is, how important they are, and how if they work hard, we will not let them down. Certainly, there have been some disappointments, but more importantly, I could go on with stories of students participating in mentors' weddings, becoming part of their families, and share the many letters from past students that have written from college and the service on how much the program meant to them. Between the passion of our WGN employees and the encouragement of our WGN management, we have been able to continue a program within our community, albeit small. It is consistent and effective in the eyes of those who participate. Thank you.
Thank you. Juan Carlos Fanjul.
Greetings, Commissioners. My name is Juan Carlos Fanjul, and I'm a reporter for WGN-TV News. I've covered the news in Chicago for over 5 years now, and as a general assignment reporter, I cover anything that happens in the metropolitan area and around the state, even around the country. The stories are numerous, but one ongoing series of stories stands out in my mind because of its value to the viewers we serve and the difference it makes in the community. To that end, we turned crime coverage into news that can make the city safer. In July of last year, I started a dialogue with the U.S. Marshals Great Lakes Task Force. Their mission is to apprehend and arrest fugitives, but they needed some help. With the power of television, we both knew we were able to put mugshots and descriptions of suspects on the run on television. Tips would lead to their arrest. In August of 2006, we started an ongoing series of reports called Fugitive Hunters. It airs on the station's most watched newscast, WGN News at 9. Our hour-long format allows me to spend sometimes up to 4 minutes and at least a couple of fugitives. We interview the marshals about the suspects, we reach out to the family members of the victims of crimes, and we prominently display the suspect's mugshot with their description. At the end of the segment, we flash a phone number on the screen, a number people can call in anonymously with any tips they have that may lead the marshals to the bad guys. Well, I'm happy to report in just a year's time, half a dozen suspects have been caught from alleged murderers, like 26-year-old Bruce Irvin, who's accused of shooting to death his own girlfriend, to convicted sexual predators like 40-year-old Kevin Thomas, who was found guilty of sexually abusing his 7-year-old stepdaughter multiple times. According to the marshals, none of these suspects wanted to face the law, but with our reports, they were forced to. I'm no John Walsh, but with every fugitive that is caught, WGN-TV realizes the community is just a little bit safer and victims finally have some sense of justice. Thank you.
Thank you. Ken Greener.
Good evening, Chairman and Commissioners. Ken Reiner, Group Program Director for WGN Television and Tribune Broadcasting. I'm responsible for all the local program initiatives that WGN Television has out there. Tonight, I'd like to share some of these initiatives to bring awareness of our current and storied history serving Chicagoland community. WGN-TV's news coverage is unprecedented, offering 32 hours of weekly news to viewers, more hours than ever before. The station remains committed to journalistic excellence, presenting local, regional, and national news in an objective and professional manner. WGN News provides important political coverage throughout the year, and especially during the months leading to an election. WGN-TV and the Chicago Tribune conduct political polling during the election season to help identify issues and provide in-depth coverage of events and legislation from Washington, D.C. and the state capitol in Springfield. Our service to the community continues weekly with 2 half-hour community affairs series that air bi-weekly. People to People covers local and regional issues and events predominantly affecting the African-American community. Recent guests include the Reverend and Miss Jesse Jackson, Percy L. Julian Sr., and Cheryl Jackson, the President and CEO of the Chicago Urban League. Adelante Chicago focuses on issues and events of interest to our Hispanic audience. Recent guests include Linda Chavez Thomas, the President of the AFL-CIO, Carlos Manuel Sada Salona, and Ida Giacello, who is the Puerto Rican healthcare crusader. The Entrepreneurial Spirit is captured in Black Enterprise Report. This weekly half-hour series has aired on WGN-TV since 1985, providing minority businesses coverage, career guidance, and entrepreneur profiles leading up to African-American executives. One of our most celebrated events is the Bud Billiken Parade and Picnic presented by Chicago Defender Charities. As a proud sponsor and partner, WGN has broadcast this live event for 30 years. This parade is the largest African-American parade in the country, largest in Chicago, celebrating our youth, diversity, and the importance of education. WGN-TV is truly grateful for the long-term relationships and the opportunity to serve the Chicagoland community.
Thank
these
you.
Many efforts, we are honored to be known as Chicago's very own. Thank you.
Thank you. At this point in our program, I want to ask the panelists from the second panel to come forward. We're going to pause for just one moment as we get them seated, and we will begin with our second panel session. So we will have a few moment break. We just completed number 34.